We're coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Whether you're looking to purchase a new home or refinance yours, Rocket Mortgage can help you get there. For home loan solutions that fit your life, Rocket can. If anyone didn't know, there's a wonderful new trend that I started where I'm texting Maggie Gray photos of squirrels I see outside just to freak her out. If you want to tweet her at Maggie Gray or tweet the show at Maggie and Pearl, or send it to me at Andrew Perloff, and we'll make sure Maggie gets a picture of the terrifying monsters of the suburbs. The squirrels are everywhere. Are you recovered from that text I sent?
This is already happening. Like, people have already started sending me stuff. I'm seeing things from our good friend Nick in Texas, obviously, and others. Now people love sending me squirrel stories. So thanks, everyone, for the nightmare fuel. You know, you get honest on this show for 1 second, and then all of a sudden, everyone turns it against you and just starts sending you and bombarding you with your biggest fear. So thanks. It's like some kind of immersive therapy or something. You guys are like trying to scare this out of me. It's
well,
not going to work.
The best part is you're scared of an animal that actually is not going to harm you. So I think we can all agree to have fun here. Watch, by the way, the headline. CBS Sports Radio host mauled to death by pack of angry squirrels.
Wouldn't you all feel awful if I was killed by a squirrel? Yes, you would.
By the way, you could probably tell that you and I are well-rested because we're not staying up late to watch these dramatic NBA games, are we, Maggie? What is going on?
Perloff, if you miss the first quarter, it's over. Like, you know, usually with NBA games, it's like, all right, you know, you make sure you're there for at least the second half and you really get to see what's going on. A lot of times people say it can be like a fourth quarter sport. Forget that. In these playoffs, if you're not sitting down ready when the ball is tipped off at center court, you're going to miss everything. I mean, how long last night were the Miami Heat sitting on 1 point? One point.
Yeah. It's a new NBA, is the blowout NBA. And honestly, like, I don't want to watch it, Maggie. It's got to get closer or I'm just not in right now.
Well, thankfully, we have OTAs to come and save us, Perloff, because we will get to more basketball later on in the show. But we had to start today with something that's really caught both of our eyes, and that is one of the new exciting teams in the NFL, and it's the Denver Broncos. And as much intrigue as there is with Russell Wilson being traded to the Broncos this offseason, Perloff, I am just really surprised at just how confident Russell sounds in this team, considering its OTAs. Now, I get projecting, you know, positivity, and you want to go into this thing with a good mentality, but I'm reading yesterday from their post-practice, quote, "It was just such a competitive practice. It felt like a championship type week in OTA number one." That's a good feeling.
I
no doubt that it is, but I mean, should we be pumping the brakes a little bit? See, I thought how this was going to go was that people like us and on the outside were going to just put so many unfair expectations on the Denver Broncos. The media, the fans, we didn't have to do a damn thing. Russell Wilson and these Broncos are talking so confidently, and I just can't get there right out of the bat, right out of the gate with them, Perloff.
Well, first of all, it's Russell Wilson speak, which is always incredibly positive and optimistic. Yeah. But I think it's intentional to try and get the team to adapt a championship mentality. I mean, not to sound like an NFL cliche, but it's obvious like he's trying to build something here where everybody believes they can win. But the other thing, Maggie's, have you been paying attention? This is what's happening now. Mercenary quarterbacks go to a new team, win a Super Bowl. It's a simple formula. 1 year with Tom Brady and the Bucs, maybe an exception. Now 2 years, Matthew Stafford. You can win this way. We've seen it recently. So at least like there's a reason to think. I understand like they're in the toughest division, like the history of the NFL. But there's a reason to think that this team could be a contender.
Okay, contender, I would say playoff team, no doubt, I would think. But again, really tough division. I do not see this exactly the same, though, as the Rams or as the Buccaneers. First of all, as you mentioned, division way harder. And I know the NFC West was difficult last year, but the Seahawks ended up obviously, you know, having a down year because of Russell's injury, mostly. Obviously, the Arizona Cardinals had their second half swoon. And, you know, the 49ers were right there. So that was a tough division, sort of, but nothing like the AFC West. I would say, you know, you also had coaches who, at least had a lot more experience on the head coaching side of this. What's going on in Denver? New offense, new defense, new head coach who's never done this before, who's previously been working with Aaron Rodgers, so that's awesome, but who's responsible for the offense when you're working with Aaron Rodgers? Those are fair questions to ask any offensive coordinator who's working with a generational talent. I don't see this as this like crazy, more sure thing. There are so many questions with its Denver Broncos team. To be talking Super Bowl in year one, Perloff, that just seems like, you know, I get it because Wilson is electric, but I don't see this as the apples to apples with the Rams and with the Bucks.
You know, if you look at trends, though, can't you argue that Nathaniel Hackett could be this year's Zach Taylor? Both of them sound like sort of mid-1800s presidents, Zach Taylor and Nathaniel Hackett, which is one thing. But young guy from an offensive system, like Zach Taylor was from the Sean McVay tree. Nathaniel Hackett, obviously, from the, I guess, what's the ultimate tree? That's a Shanahan tree. Or LaFleur, or McVay tree. I don't even know. They're all connected to McVay.
It's all the same tree.
Yeah, this is basically how you win now. No, I understand what you're saying. Like, yes, of course, when you look at the AFC West, it's loaded. But don't you think, like, that's a Super Bowl goal there? Like, I feel like anything short of at least a championship game is going to be a disappointment for Russell Wilson. You feel getting the playoffs is enough?
In year one? I mean,
He's 34.
I know he's 30. Well, yeah, he'll be 34, right? He just said, though, recently, Perloff, and I think he believes this, and the way quarterbacks play now, why wouldn't he? He thinks his career is only half over.
That's true.
He's been in the NFL for 9 years. He thinks his career is only half over. And let's not forget, too, you know, there is a part of, I think there's two parts of this. One is obviously to turn around Denver, make them into, you know, a Super Bowl caliber team. Maybe not year one, but in due time for sure. But I also think Russell Wilson wants to win an MVP. I think that part of, you know, the friction between him and Pete Carroll was obviously over the let Russ cook and how much they were going to have him throw on early downs and all of that. And I think you read everything coming out of Denver, this is his offense.
Yeah.
And he's got his fingerprints not just on this whole team, but certainly on the offense. I think he's going for, yes, winning and all of that. No doubt he's a team guy. But I also think there's a secondary goal here, which is Russell finally getting an MVP, which I'm sure he believes, you know, as he has not been able to fully showcase his skill set, even though he's a perennial Pro Bowler and a future Hall of Famer.
No. Come on. You're telling Mr. Russell Wilson, Mr. Unlimited, he wants a championship, Maggie. He doesn't care about an MVP. He wants a Super Bowl. Once you've won one, and you should have won two, don't you think he's obsessed with getting that last Super Bowl back? No, the MVP would be nice. You're right. And I do agree, like, he's going to a new system that'll let him throw the ball more. He's going to have a great shot this year. Also, he's so much talent around him. You look at Cortland Sutton, Tim Patrick, KJ Hamler, Jerry Jeudy. Jerry Jeudy, I mentioned fourth. He's loaded on offense, so I think he has a great chance to have big numbers. But I think Russell Wilson, maybe I'm buying into Russell talk. I feel like he's like Tom Brady, like it's championship or bust in his mind. Don't you think he's built similarly mentally to Brady?
Oh, yeah, in his mind. But I'm talking about the reality of the upcoming season. And I don't think that it's that sort of slam dunk thing. I have no doubt that he can be a culture changer and all of that. But in terms of, you're going to out of the gate win a Super Bowl and be the third quarterback in a row to switch teams and then come away hoisting the Lombardi? I don't see it. And, like, you know, you're right. There are so many great offensive weapons. But can I remind you, Jerry Jeudy was just arrested last month. Now he's sitting out because they think he has somewhat of a small back issue. There may be some questions there. You know, the defense is good. Good. Is it great? We're going to find out. That Rams defense was really good. Obviously, they have Aaron Donald, the best defensive player in the league. And the Bucs defense ended up being one of the best defenses in the NFL that year, the year they won with Tom Brady. I don't know if Denver's on that caliber with defense.
Wait, so who was Tampa Bay? What was Tampa Bay's roster before Tom Brady got there? It wasn't this roster. This roster is loaded with Pro Bowlers and all pros. Like, Tampa Bay was not that. They had Mike Evans, but they were not stacked. This roster is completely stacked. I mean,
it is. Yeah. But Perloff, Brady obviously saw something in that roster.
Yeah.
Because
he wasn't
going to go to Tampa with a bunch of nobodies.
Yeah. Obviously, Tampa was a sleeping giant, but Denver feels that way. Remember, Denver has been gearing up for Aaron Rodgers. They've been working on this for 2 years. So they have talent everywhere. I think the only reason like we're even hesitating here is that stupid division. Like the fact that the Chargers and the Raiders and the Chiefs, not the Chiefs, I think the Chiefs had a bad offseason, obviously, but that they added so much talent. But, you know, there's so, like you say, it's a bad defense. It has a possibility of being a dominant defense. Bradley Chubb, obviously, up front. But, like, I was just looking at their depth chart. They have Patrick Surtain, who's going to be a star, Justin Simmons and Kareem Jackson at safety, and Ronald Darby at the other corner. Like, that's a shutdown group of defensive backs. Now you have like
I didn't
like
say they were
stud.
Bad. You have stud. I just don't know if they're going to be as good as the Rams or as the Bucks.
Yeah, I mean, I think they're way ahead of where we thought the Bucks were there. I think that's like the makings of a really, really elite defense. Now, that's, you know, I'm saying a lot here. I expected some change. But I think the NFL now, look at the other team, the Bengals. Like, you can really do unexpected things in today's NFL. And I feel like the Broncos with Russell Wilson are just, they're right there. Do you give the Raiders or the Chargers, do you feel better about them as Super Bowl teams?
I feel like,
Chargers I would understand.
Chargers, everyone's hyping up the Chargers. I mean, the Chargers have gotten, because of Justin Herbert, and we'll talk about his offseason coming up in just a little bit. But, I mean, hard to say. Hard to say. I think this division is just going to beat each other up so much that I'm not sure. The only team I would really feel confident saying the Super Bowl, you know, would be the obvious goal for them would definitely be the Chiefs. And as you mentioned, like, I don't even know if this was a banner offseason for them. They're getting tons of praise about what they did in the draft, but obviously you lose Tyreek Hill, and it's going to be massive, I think, unless Patrick Mahomes is going to make up for all of this. But no, I like the confidence. I just don't know if I believe that Denver is going to be the Super Bowl contender year one. But we want to hear from you. 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. Can I just give you weeks 13 through 18
Please.
For the Denver Broncos?
Yep.
This is the way they're going to finish out the year, okay? At Baltimore, Kansas City, Arizona, at the Rams, at Kansas City, and then LA Chargers to finish out the season. That's a tough end for weeks 13 through 18. And I'm, you know, it's going to be a crazy year for that AFC West, but that stood out to me for sure about how they're going to try to, you know, bring this thing home and land the plane in weeks 13 through 18. That is not easy.
Yeah, but the NFL did them a favor, gave them the Cardinals in the second half of the season. So that home game against the Cardinals, you could even rest your starters and come out with a W there. So here's the thing, Maggie, I'm just assuming the flip side is that they must have a pretty easy first, you know, because they weren't a great team last year, so their first half must be easy.
The first half is not terrible for them. They end up playing a game, I believe they're going to London, one of their games against Jacksonville, right? So the beginning part of the schedule, they could get off to a pretty good start. They start at Seattle, obviously, with schedule makers with a wink and a nod there. Houston, San Francisco, they're at Vegas. Indianapolis will not be easy at the Chargers, the New York Jets, and then Jacksonville.
Ooh.
And that's a London game.
That's a lot of AFC South and the Jets on that first part of the schedule. That's got to be kind of exciting.
It's going to be important for them to get off to a really good start. And think about that, right? You're trying to get out of the gate really strong when you have all these new moving pieces trying to adapt.
They all get used to, you get the easy part of the schedule. Then they're all like used to playing with each other. So then they're ready for the end of the season. And like, I kind of think like this AFC West thing, maybe it helps all these teams, Maggie. Maybe they iron sharpens iron, as me and Stu and Mike say here in the
yes,
studio all the
as
time.
As you guys demonstrate the time. Yes.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I think the champion might come out of there. I mean, my pick's already in. It's the Bills against anybody. I'm sorry, Maggie. And I could do it without
you.
Yeah, but obviously they're all going to lose in Buffalo, all these teams we're talking about, because I think your point is they can't possibly get the number one seed out of that division because they're going to get losses. So they're going to have to travel east, likely to Buffalo. So that's a problem, I admit. But hey, Russell Wilson, he's done that kind of thing before. He's had big games of all across the country coming for Seattle. I think Super Bowl is a legitimate goal. I don't think I'm alone, Maggie. I like to hear our callers. I'll bet you a lot of people think, you know what, that's at least the goal in Denver.
Yeah, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Year one Super Bowl for the Broncos, is that unfair? I do. If I were them, I'd be giving myself a little bit of breathing room too. Let everyone else around you build up the expectations. I get wanting to instill a winning culture, but you're ratcheting up the expectations to the point where the media and the fans don't have to do anything. Also, Russell Wilson saying it's not going to be emotional when he goes back to Seattle. Can you choose emotions, Perloff? I thought that that's just something that sort of overcomes you in the moment. I didn't know you could choose to turn it off.
No, I agree with you. I think it's going to be really hard. But he's been dying to get out of there for 2 years. So I don't know. The emotion might be, oh, thank God I am not wearing the Seahawks blue today, because I do think he really, really wanted out of there.
Of course, you can also find us on Twitter at Maggie and Pearl. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Maggie and Perloff. That's where you can get in on the convo. You can call us 855-212-4CBS. Want to hear from you about this crazy division and specifically about the Denver Broncos. Of course, coming up next, the most unwatchable thing in sports right now. Perloff and I will unload the clip on that. We got so much to do here. Very busy day. Big day for my co-host also. We'll get into that as well. So much to do. So glad to have you on this fantastic Tuesday on CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM Channel 158. Don't move.
Free battery testing, free battery charging, and replacement batteries that fit your needs. That's what makes AutoZone America's number one battery destination. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Back on Maggie and Perloff, discussing what should the expectation be in Denver. You can give us a call, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. I think they have every reason to be talking Super Bowl right now, Maggie. They have Russell Wilson, but you're not there yet.
Well, I agree. That's a massive upgrade from whatever they've been rolling out for the last, well, ever since Peyton Manning retired. But I would say year one, just because of all of the questions around this team, new offense, new defense, you know, obviously new quarterback, but that's going to help things, you know, new head coach who's never done this before. Like, there's just a lot of variables where I want to see a little bit first before I can automatically say, okay, they should be a Super Bowl contender. Forget the Chiefs. You know, like, I've already watched the Chiefs be dominant in the way that they were so, you know, willing to part ways with Tyreek Hill. You know, even you and I talked about that at the time, Perloff. You're such an Andy Reid disciple yourself. Yeah. You know, he'll find a way to score. I'm not worried about that. More worried about the defensive side. But I don't know. I have to see more, and they need to answer some questions before I can put them in Super Bowl contention year one.
All right, let's hear from Steve in Long Island. Steve, what do you think the expectations should be in Denver?
Well, I think the franchise itself expects to go to the Super Bowl. You're not picking up a veteran quarterback, a top-tier veteran quarterback, and not expecting to go to the Super Bowl. But I agree with Maggie. I don't know that this team, looking at it from the outside and looking at it objectively, I don't know whether this team is ready yet for Super Bowl. But I definitely believe that, similar to when they picked up Peyton Manning, the franchise thinks that they're ready to fight for a Super Bowl now, but I don't see it, quite frankly. But the AFC, you know, I don't think Buffalo, I don't think any of the teams is overly dominant. I think Tyreek Hill is a tremendous loss for the Chiefs. I think they are underestimating his influence on the offense, how he stretched the field. As great as Mahomes is, you don't get a Tyreek Hill every day. So I think the AFC is wide open, but I'm not sure that Denver's at that point yet where they're in the upper tier.
Thank you, Steve. So basically, he agreed with both of us, which I like. But he brought up Peyton Manning. Now, you're telling me that anyone on planet Earth knew that offense was going to be what that was going to be? Peyton Manning, with half an arm, he was coming off a major neck injury. All of a sudden, Emmanuel Sanders, Demaryius Thomas emerge as superstars, and that is the most high-flying offense for a three-year period that nobody saw coming. They didn't have a single hint that that offense was lying dormant there before Peyton Manning got there.
Well, you forget the Tim Tebow to Demaryius Thomas, one of the great plays, Perloff. And sorry to all the Steelers fans who are listening. But no, I think what's interesting is you had Peyton Manning, let's not forget, was coming off a lost season, right, where he was injured. Yeah. He comes out, they lose because the Baltimore Ravens, Joe Flacco, happened to be on a miracle run, right? So they lose at home. But then the next year, they did go to the Super Bowl, and they got totally blown out by Russell Wilson's Seattle Seahawks. So they did go to the Super Bowl, but that was at least in year two. Then obviously they have his third year, and then as our friend and colleague at the time, Don Banks, the late Don Banks, who we love, had reported that Peyton had had a fourth neck procedure, and then they end up getting to the Super Bowl, and obviously they beat the Carolina Panthers, but that was definitely on the backs of the defense there. You know, it was a bit of a process. Even Peyton Manning couldn't get them to the Super Bowl in year one. And I know he was coming off of a big injury.
He could barely get the ball downfield. I don't even know how he did that. Let's go to Jimmy in Las Vegas. Jimmy, take it easy here. You know Maggie is sensitive to the topic that you're about to bring up.
Yeah, guys, listen, you guys are on my favorite show. I've called before. First of all, I agree with you, Maggie. I mean, Denver, they got to prove a lot to me going through that division. I've been a fantasy player for 25 years in Vegas, and basically they're going to be a good team. But Super Bowl, good luck with that. And two, about the squirrels, all these people that send you texts, ignore them. I would have two words for them. They wouldn't be happy birthday. I'm 6 foot three. I'm 240 pounds, and I'm not really scared of anything. But I will tell you that there was a big, giant bug I'm running the other way. So we all have our phobias. Anyway, great guys. I love your show. Keep up the good work. Thank you.
Thanks, Jimmy.
Jimmy, this is a safe space. We can let out. I thought it was a safe space. We could let out all of our fears. Jimmy, big, strong dude, says that if he sees a bug, he's running the other way. If I see a squirrel, I'm hovering, cowering, and and I'm frozen in fear.
So I'm terrified of mice, but I feel like there's nothing wrong with, like, that's much more common, right? Everybody, there are a lot of people who are scared of mice. I'm looking at Mike. Are you scared of mice?
Not mice per se, but like New York City rats freak me out. Yeah. But like little mice, like I've seen the difference between a rat and a mouse. Mice I'm okay with. Sorry.
You're okay if a mouse ran through the studio right now, which happens in New York City studios, you'd be all right.
If it's one
that?
Of those like little tiny little mice, like I've seen those little mice like around the city all over, and like you see them, you kind of startle at first. Rat, completely different story. I'm running, sprinting the other way.
Stu,
if there's a mouse, I'm standing on this. Sorry, Maggie. If there's a mouse, I'm standing on this table and not doing anything else.
Well, Stu, I'm on there. I will knock you off that table to stand away. I hate mice. I've had apartments. I've had to move because of mice. I had a perfectly amazing rent. Like, I had cheap rent in the West Village of New York City, like this prime location. And I found out why it was so cheap, because in the middle of the night, I would just hear pitter-patter, 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 pitter-patter. I'm like, I'm breaking my lease. I'm out.
That's different. Mice in the apartment, totally different.
Well, that's why people get so freaked out by them. I'm going to be honest. I'm kind of surprised we don't get mice in our studio.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of people leave a lot of food around. You know, this would be like the prime hangout for mice. But good job by the building down there at 345 Hudson. They keep that place mouse-free.
I will say this. I'm eating some cheese and truffle-flavored corn snacks, and I think I've dropped half of them on the floor. So there might be mice here tomorrow, Maggie.
You are the number one culprit. Samter's always eating snacks, and the way that he eats the snacks is only from the bag. Yeah, right. You can see if you're watching us on CBS Sports Network. He only lifts the bag up to his mouth, and I think that's because he doesn't want to share them with anyone, because even before COVID, no one's reaching into the bag once you put your mouth all over it. Yeah, Stu said, no, thank you. I'm good. I'm all set. Your mouth was all over the bag.
Yeah, no, Samter's diet is fascinating. Remember yesterday we talked about if you could eat one food for the rest of the year? I don't even know what Mike's one food would be. It's completely unpredictable.
What are you eating? Truffle and sea salt corn chips?
It's a cheese and truffle-flavored corn snacks from a very popular grocery chain.
There you go.
Does Delicious. It rhyme with Schmader Schmoes?
It may or may not, yes. It's called Fancy Cheese Crunchies. So, yes, let's go with that. Gluten-free.
Mike, you are a Fancy Cheese Crunchie.
Fancy Cheese Crunchie. That's mice food. You're laying mice food out.
I have to change my Twitter handle now.
Well, you know who just...
Yeah, you're not Big Mike.
You know who just walked in the studio, and I know as a fact that he is not a fan of mice. Rich Ackerman, your thoughts
Definitely
on
not.
Mice in the studio.
We will not tolerate infestation.
Would you leave?
You first, Rich.
Would you refuse to come in if there was a rat that was sighted on this floor?
No. You know, because you see them on the subway all the time. It's like they're sitting right next to you on the cars, you know. But it's not something I would love to see. But, you know, I live in New York. You know, you grow up here, you get used to it. It's like, oh, rats.
You know, Maggie. Go ahead, Maggie.
Can I tell you something? My this is how I know I use the rats in the subway as a barometer of whether the train's close or not.
I do that too.
If I see the rat on the rails just hanging out, I'm like, oh, this train's like 5 minutes away. Because the rats can like feel the vibration. They know they're not in any danger. If that rat's just hanging out looking for a slice of pizza or like a leftover Big Mac, then I know that I got a while before this train shows up.
This is making me all so unhappy. Just to see a rat, my mood immediately falls. Like I have this weird superstition. If I see a rat on the subway, it's going to be a bad day. I've always felt that way. Yeah, I hate rats. I mean, I hate nothing more on this planet than rats. It's like...
Then don't ride the subway.
Yeah, I know. I'm not a fan. By the way, that's one of a million reasons I'm not a fan of the subway right now, but we're not going to open that can of worms. It is not a lovely place if you're not in New York City right now, but we will talk about that.
We will not tolerate infestation.
But now, Ack, what do you think of the fact that Maggie's afraid of squirrels? Is that a bridge too far?
No, I could see that because, you know, they look nice, but you just never know if one's going to go rogue on you. So I can understand that. I get that. They look cute. They got the nuts in their mouth. They're always looking for the nuts. But, you know, one gets a little upset, and that's all it takes. So, you got to go safe. Better safe than sorry.
You're going to encourage her, Ack. This is terrible.
I'm sorry. I got to call it like I see it.
I appreciate that when someone else is man enough to admit that squirrels are terrifying. So thank you, Ack.
Well,
on my side.
As I've said before, they are part of the rodent family. You got to remember that. You just never know. We will not tolerate infestation.
At.
Yes. Think if you shaved the tail, what they would look like. And there you go, probably.
A rat. It would look like a rat.
I am not going to go there. I'm not going to let my head convince me to be scared of squirrels. It's just not going to happen. I don't care how much time I spend around you, Maggie. It's never going to be afraid of squirrels.
We're all here for you.
I'm
going
to rub off on you. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Okay, coming up, the difference maker between the good and great quarterbacks this NFL season, they're letting us in on a little secret. We will get to that in just a minute. Bottom of the hour, time for a CBS Sports Update. Here's Rich Ackerman.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. In last night's blowout win over the Heat, Celtics big man Al Horford recorded 4 block shots. Where were those in Philadelphia? Neither here nor there. Boston has a team at 11 blocks and held Miami to just 33% shooting from the field. We're going to get into the NBA disappointing playoffs in a little bit. We both predicted yesterday that Boston was going to come up big. But I've been busy Googling something weird, Maggie. And I don't know if I'm allowed to be Googling this, but I've been looking for shirtless pictures of Justin Herbert. Is that odd?
Sure you want that on your browser
my
history?
Google's...
Is that a work computer?
Well, I just keep reading about all these quarterbacks getting buffed, so I got to see it for myself. I need my eyes need to see what the headline's all about.
Well, don't you feel like we're a little early to best shape of my life season?
Okay.
You know, generally that's like a training camp kind of thing, but I feel like everything in this society now, everything's all sped up. Everyone's got to be first. Everyone, you know, got to show you just how hard they're working. And so I think we've come early to best shape of my life season, especially when it comes to these quarterbacks. And you're right. A couple of them have stood out, especially leading the pack is Justin Herbert. He was even asked a question about how much bigger he's looking by a reporter yesterday at the Chargers OTAs, and this is what it sounded like.
You look a little swole there. What you been doing this long?
Oh, I appreciate that. I was just lifting, so we've just been getting after it, and thankful to Jonathan Brooks, who's been leading the charge.
What's your weight right now?
It's about 245.
Whoa. Damn, 245. I love that he goes, you're looking pretty swole. And he goes, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for noticing all the hard work I've been putting in. This guy's so easy to root for.
I've never actually had to answer that question. No one's ever told me I was looking swole. So I guess I would say thank you, too. But he's like, he's like, how'd you do it? Just lifting weights. Oh, okay. So it's just lifting weights. Like, what did we think that he was like doing World's Strongest Man competitions? Isn't that how you get big? Justin Herbert, we love him. He's a super nice guy, but he doesn't always have the most interesting answers to questions
like
that.
Oh, I loved that. I loved how genuine that was. Like, he just accepted the compliment, you know, so good. And he's so likable like that. But I thought it's funny. Yeah, like, what do we think he's doing? He's not, like, you know, throwing, like, a keg over a wall, you know. Maybe turning over one of those massive tires, which always kind of looks fun, but I'm sure it's not fun at all when you're actually trying to do it. But the funny thing about Herbert is about adding muscle. Like, I get why he wants to be bigger, but when I watch Justin Herbert, I never thought that was lacking in his game.
100%. What does he need to be bigger? His arm is incredibly strong. In fact, I have to wonder, does getting bigger and muscular help a quarterback? I've heard Brady Quinn, our buddy, talk about that before. He was always jacked, and I don't know if that's actually something you always want. Like, Tom Brady talks about pliability. He never talks about size. I mean, listen, obviously for the beach season, you want to be as big as possible. And he's in Southern California. I get it. But I don't know, like, building muscle, is that something that you really want out of every quarterback? I feel like there some quarterbacks need to put on a little weight, but most of them, I think you just want to be loose.
Well, I think it helps. Obviously, you're going to take hits, even though they, you know, improve their offensive line. You're still going to take hits. You want to be as strong as possible. I think Josh Allen, you know, and the fact that he's so big and how he's able to use his feet and, you know, able to run, and you're not, you know, you're worried about him getting hurt, obviously, but he's like inflicting punishment on people quarterback.
Maggie, that is the worst formula. Cam Newton got huge
and
thought he could take the hits, and he could not. Josh Allen, like, the best thing that could happen to him is he lose 20 pounds and got more scared of running. I don't think that, like, that's a myth that you could be big enough to withstand NFL hits, because eventually one's going to get you the wrong way.
Perloff, as a Bills fan, scares the absolute bejesus out of me. I don't want Josh Allen running, and in fact, they've even talked about dialing back on that now this upcoming season, because if he gets hurt, that's it. The season's over. You know, our good friend Case Keenum. I know.
Went 13-3 with the Vikings. I mean, yeah, with that talent, I think, all right, Case Keenum might not win the Super Bowl, but he could get you to the playoffs. Actually, might win the Super Bowl. That's a very good team. Who are some other quarterbacks who are reportedly putting on some muscle?
Okay, so this one comes to us from the Patriots, and Mac Jones, apparently, best shape of my life guy, has changed his diet. He went through the whole thing with reporters, but it was actually his teammate Kendrick Bourne who noticed the big change in Mac Jones. Here's what he had to say.
Yeah, Mac, and he's also in shape. Everything you said, yeah, is way better, and he's in the best shape of his life. I think he's been here all off season with Moses, so he looks really good. His stomach is gone, and he looks really good. He's definitely a pro's pro now.
If you're Mac Jones, are you like, wait, what? My what? I had a stomach last year?
Just Google Mac Jones and dad bod. There's much documentation of Mac Jones. There's just one picture where he looks identical to Tom Brady's combine photo that gets thrown around a lot. He has an unbelievable body for an NFL player. At least he used to. I don't know if I guess it's gone now.
No, now he's all into nutrition. And I didn't know you could have a dad bod when you're 22.
I didn't think
that was possible.
Totally does. You know how the Joker is the dad bod god? Mac Jones is just the dad bod guy. He is like, I mean, I don't know if you've Googled it yet and if this would cause a problem with your husband, Mac Jones shirtless, but you'll see there's just one thing. I remember this too. I think it was his pro day where he lifted up his shirt to wipe some sweat, and all the draft people were like, what is going on there? Like, why is this guy not in shape at 22?
Stomach is gone.
Yeah, I guess.
Well, listen, I think that him looking like Tom Brady, everything you can do to be like Tom Brady, that's only going to win you points there.
Yeah,
slow 40, looking like a sad dad bod, like all this stuff helps. But, you know, Brady now looks like he's aging in reverse. So I don't even know what to do with Brady. He's always in the best shape.
But, you know, Brady's never been swole. He's never been big. He's talked a lot about that. He like doesn't do exercises that would make him muscular. Rodgers isn't very muscular. I'm watching Matthew Stafford. They were showing the Super Bowl on another channel. He's not big. So I don't know, like, where does this big come from? I'm not sure Justin Herbert. Getting rid of a stomach makes sense, but I don't like putting on too much muscle. It's like shooters, right, Maggie? We talked about that the other day. Shooters traditionally didn't want to lift weights because it would interfere with your shot.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. Someone asked Steph Curry, does he lift any weights during the season? I have no clue if that messes with his shot or not. But one person who has reported to camp best shape of his life, but you could kind of understand where they were coming from, is Zach Wilson of the New York Jets. Now, he didn't come in as the biggest dude, and he's obviously going into year two. Here's what his coach Robert Saleh said about how Zach's looking these days.
Zach looks good. He's definitely hit the weight room. Looks beefy. in a good way. In a good way. He's definitely filled out. So, but he's still got all his looseness and throwing the football and zip and all that stuff. So he looks good.
Okay, so first of all, is beefy ever in a bad way? I mean, I guess yes. If you look beefy like a cheesesteak, then that's probably not a compliment.
But well, if you say if a golfer is called beefy, that's never a compliment. Like, ooh, look at here comes, he's beefy.
Look at John Daly. He's nice and beefy.
Yeah, beefy. Did you hear what Saleh said about how he's maintained his looseness? So obviously there's something there where he was aware of the criticism of getting too muscular will kind of kill your pliability. So I think we're onto something there.
And Saleh today, in fact, followed up and called Zach Wilson thick, THICC, Perloff, which is, I know, something that people randomly shout to you on the street.
Yeah, totally. The thing about Zach Wilson, though, like, here's my problem with Zach Wilson. Like, can you follow a guy as a leader when they look like they're 12 years old? That's, I want Zach Wilson. This is so unfair, but look, Zach Wilson just has such a baby face. I guess he could be the babyface assassin, but he's just like,
definitely.
It's I think it's important for him to put on weight, just sort of like a leadership skill, because you see him and you're like, wait, that's the quarterback of an NFL team? He just looks like, how old does he look like he is? They have a picture on CBS Sports Network. It's like, oh, that's a cool looking high school quarterback. And then who's the Jets quarterback?
He looks like the lifeguard at the town pool.
Yeah.
Totally. Zach Wilson responded to Robert Saleh. Here's what he had to say.
We've talked to Robert about you over the last couple weeks or so, and he said you're beefy.
That dude's beefy. You guys seen him?
Today he said you were thick.
Oh, good.
What's the off-season program like to get beefy and thick?
Yeah, I think it was probably the first time in my life I've taken, you know, a bigger approach on the nutrition side of it rather than just the lifting.
Man, I'm telling you, it's all about the nutrition. It's like, as soon as everyone has that aha moment as an athlete, it's just like, it's now like the exception is the guys who are still out there like eating fast food, Perloff, and the guys who are out there just paying no attention to their nutrition. Like, that's the rare athlete today. Now everyone's got, you know, they've got a plan.
Yeah, except, you know, these 20, young 20-somethings, you'll always hear about the guys who are candy addicts, though. You see, you know, a lot of athletes, because they're burning crazy calories. So they can, I think they can take liberties that other people can't. Don't you think that's fair?
Well, as a candy addict myself, who is not a professional athlete, I identify with this, you know, I would say it's probably a flaw, but like Marshawn Lynch with the Skittles, you know, and other guys, it's impossible to kick. I feel like it might be one of the toughest habits to break. I'm a massive sugar addict and it's awful. You just can't get away.
I got my
sour gummy bears right here. They're within arm's reach.
Haribo.
I'm not proud of it.
I'm looking around. There are not a lot of big muscular quarterbacks. Like, it's not a position. I'm trying to find, like, who's the biggest guy. And there's no Brady Quinn. There's no Tebow's. There's no thick quarterbacks now. They're all kind of lanky, except for
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen
Josh
and now
Allen
Justin
is huge.
Herbert.
He looks like a tight end.
Right.
And now Justin Herbert, for sure. I think Russell Wilson is totally thick.
He's thick, absolutely. But he's tiny, though. I mean, he's 5'11", if that. I mean, but you look at, like, Joe Burrow. Does he strike you as big? Or, you know, like I mentioned, Rodgers, Carson Wentz, Matt Ryan. All these guys are tall. Trevor Lawrence, they're tall and skinny. Isn't that a more appropriate quarterback
I don't
build?
No. There's also something about when you watch them on TV or watch them on video, and then when you actually, like, stand next to them, if you're ever able to do that, they're always, it feels like a lot bigger than you expect, except for, like, some of the shorter quarterbacks like Drew Brees and Tua and stuff like that. But, like, if you, like, Joe Burrow with towers, Trevor Lawrence is, like, 6'5". These guys are huge.
Oh, yeah, yeah. But they're tall. They're not thick, though.
Look at Ryan Leaf, our friend Ryan.
Yeah.
I mean, when you stand next to Ryan, he towers over everybody.
Right, right. Well, I know. I'm saying they're all tall, but they're not jacked. Like Matt Ryan is 6'5", weighs as much as I do. those guys, the general build is definitely not of the thick variety. Kirk Cousins, none of these guys are thick. It just isn't a thing. I don't think you need to be muscular to be a quarterback.
Okay, so do you think that everyone we just highlighted in this best shape of my life segment, Justin Herbert, Mac Jones, or Zach Wilson, do you think they're actually hurting themselves by trying to get in the best shape of their life? I think they're helping themselves here. This is supposed to be positive on all sides.
Yeah, I think it's totally irrelevant to Justin Herbert. I don't even know why he's doing it. He's already huge. I don't know what on earth he's doing. Yeah, I like it for Mac Jones, obviously. I definitely like it for Zach Wilson. Like the young guys who need to fill out, like Justin Fields probably could use a couple more pounds. But no, like veteran, like look at the great quarterbacks of all time. Tom Brady, Joe Montana. I mean, like Sampier could kick Joe Montana's butt. He's tiny. You don't need to be yoked to be a quarterback. It doesn't make any sense to me.
But for every one of those, can I give you a Ben Roethlisberger?
Huge. The paragon of fitness. Yeah.
Big honestly, dude, though. Peyton Manning is big, and he was always kind of muscular, right?
No. Peyton Manning was never. I don't think Peyton lifted much weights at all. He was always tall and skinny. But I mean, like, yeah. No, they weren't like buff by any
How
means.
How about, you already said Cam Newton. Cam was huge.
Yeah, I already said Cam Newton. Give me another
How about
one.
John Elway? John Elway was huge.
He was thick.
Yeah. There are plenty of big guys. Marino was big. Jim Kelly was big. They're all big.
They're tall.
Maggie Perloff, hang with you. You want to weigh in on the conversation, 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. Coming up, conflicting reports on the future quarterback of one contender. We dive in next. Don't move.